Oh, what's going on? 97.5, the Fanatic 601 Friday night. You guys got to be in here for when me and Ty talk between the shows, getting it together as we get ready to talk about the Sixers and the Embiid Simmons aspect of everything. The trade deadline over with. Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III unavailable tonight. We'll see about Sunday. Memphis with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and that young core. Who is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies? Somebody tell me. I'll wait. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. By the way, his name is Taylor Jenkins. No one knows who he is. He has that team in the eighth seed in the Western Conference. Really good coaching job by Taylor Jenkins, led by two young stars. Two young stars in Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., who don't know what they don't know, yet they are finding a way to compete in the National Basketball Association, in the best conference in the NBA out west, and having a blast doing it. Meanwhile, we're talking about a first-year player and a second-year player. Now we shift things over to Philadelphia, where last night they lost their final game of their road trip, the four-game road trip, where they dropped all four of them. They have now lost five straight on the road. And that dates back to the Toronto loss that they had in Toronto at Scotiabank Arena and the four-game road trip that just finished, losing all four of those games. And we're talking about, okay, this nice young team coming in tonight, the Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant, just exciting the entire league. Probably should have been an all-star, but it is what it is. He's a rookie. He's not going to get voted in. You still have to earn it. They've earned the respect of their peers. They've earned the respect of the fans with the way that they play, led by this rookie who's going to be the rookie of the year. He should be the rookie of the year. We know what Zion Williamson is doing it now. But then we shift things over to Philadelphia's side, where right now, after last night's loss, 112-101 to the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the NBA, 44-7. Sixers now 31-21, and I continue every time they lose to say that it is ridiculous at whatever stage of the season it is to have that number in the loss column, 21. 52 games in, 21 losses, unacceptable. It's just ridiculous. And here we have this Memphis Grizzlies team coming into town, playing the way that they are playing. And this coach that no one has ever heard of, Taylor Jenkins, that has this team sitting right now in the Western Conference in the eighth seed at 26-25. And I know that's not great, but when you're ahead of the Portland Trailblazers, the San Antonio Spurs, pedigreed organizations that have done things in this league, the New Orleans Pelicans, even though they were without Zion Williamson for the start of the season, so many people had faith that they would still, led by Drew Holiday, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, on and on and on, Alvin Gentry is the head coach, to still make noise in that Western Conference. But no, the Memphis Grizzlies, who we all thought were going to be in the bottom three of the NBA, is playing very well again, 26-25. They are, get this, guys, Josh Rabick producing the show, 11-12 away from Memphis. Your Philadelphia 76ers away from the center, 9-19. All right? 9-19. They're back at home for three. The final three games of their schedule before the All-Star break tonight with Memphis, the second night of a back-to-back. Sunday hosting the Chicago Bulls, who sport a 19-34 record in the Eastern Conference. And then the Los Angeles Clippers, who are the second seed in the West, will be in town to take on the Sixers next Tuesday, closing out the first part of the season before the All-Star break. So while we look at Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, as we listen here on the Fanatic tonight, Ryan Seltzer with the pregame coverage at 6:50, Tom McGinnis with the game call at 7. We look at these two young stars who, as good as we thought they would be, have come in and outperformed what many people's expectations were about them. Meanwhile, we have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, two all-stars, two-time all-star, three-time All-Star, and Joel Embiid, two-time for Ben Simmons, who are very, very good, fantastic players, but for some reason, they cannot seem to get it together on the floor. Playing in tandem, playing as a duo, being the 1-2 punch that leads this team that has the support of Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, and Al Horford, along with the rest of the bench people who come in and do their part, the support from them to come in and simply be the same type of players that we want, even better than Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. They seem like they like playing with one another. They talk about this team being so together because they're all young. Meanwhile, we have the situation where we've seen with these two players that have issues with one another, it seems, that have issues with their teammates, where Jimmy Butler, it appears, word that we've had, that he didn't want to come back not only because of the coach, but also because the young players, as much as he likes them, doesn't want to play with them because they don't have it in them. The issue last night in their loss to the Bucks, hearing it all day on the station, Joel Embiid in his 26 shot attempts, making only 6, 3 of 10 from deep, 19 points, 11 boards, 6 assists in 33 minutes. And a lot of what was said is true today about him, how he needs to step up, how he needs to be better. And then I also agree with where Mike and Ty were leaning more so of his hand is busted up and he is favoring it and all of that. But even with that, with the hand being busted up, if it's so bad, because I was just talking to Ty earlier before they ended their show, and it was one rebound that Joel Embiid had where he tipped it with his left, the busted up hand, grabbed it with his right, and it seemed like he did it purposely because he did not want to smack the ball together, put all that pressure from the ball right on his hand, because he knows that it will hurt and all of that. If his hand is that bad, I don't think he should be out there. That's just me. I think they would have been fine faring the way that they have been, playing without him, having him healthy, better at least, close to healthy, coming back after the All-Star break with the extended time off, do your rehab, and all of that. So for me, all of that, I don't think he should be out there. I'll just put that out there right now. He should not be playing. But he did play, put up 26 shots. So last night when we did in the post, my focus was, yes, he shot too many times, 26. Horford shot 12 threes, too many, even though it wasn't a bad clip from behind the three-point line. 23 for Tobias Harris. I'll take that. They needed him to shoot. I also needed more than 6 attempts from Ben Simmons for his 11 points, the 14 rebounds and 9 assists. I needed way more than the 6. And I'll just say this. I got calls last night talking about why are you focused on him? You're making excuses. Tweets saying, why are you not putting more of the emphasis on Embiid's night instead of Simmons? Well, guess what? They're both to blame for what happened last night. Both of them. They both shouldered the responsibility of carrying this team as best as they can and contributing. Yes, Ben Simmons is a terrific basketball player, a great passer. That's the one attribute that stands out first and foremost, with his speed also in transition and his ability to make things happen in the open floor. But when your other best player, 26 shot attempts, has a problem with an injured hand, and if he is going to be out there playing and he's shooting, fine. But what I need from my point guard as well is to make sure he picks up the slack. I do not care about 17 assists if that's what he ended up with last night, because he did have some really good passes getting them to his teammates and allowing them the opportunity to have some shots, some really good looks, and they missed them. They shot 37% last night, 99 field goal attempts. What I needed from him was to bump that 26 down from Embiid, take a few of them away. And he had good looks as well early on, short, long, didn't seem right on his shots overall. You can tell the hand, as Mike and Ty were saying, was bothering him. Excuse? No, just a fact. Which again, for me, he should not be out there on the floor. But when he is out there and he is having trouble, I need the other players to do, like Tobias Harris did, 23 attempts. Al Horford, 17 attempts. I need Ben Simmons to get in there and take at least 6, 7, maybe 8 away from Embiid. And as successful as he has been at the free throw line over the last few weeks, get to the free throw line more than 4 times. I did not see the aggression from him. I saw some of it from Embiid, but I also saw some things I did not like from Embiid. I needed a better performance from both of them last night, resulting in their final game of the four-game road trip with another L that drops them now to 9-19 away from the center. I had problems with both of them. They have many problems, and they need to find a way over these next three games here in Philadelphia, and then after the All-Star break, where I believe off the top of my head, 14 home, 13 away, to have a big-time winning record to close out the season, to do their very best to increase their win total as they go into the postseason, final game April 15th. They have a lot of work to do. I like Burks and Robinson III coming in. They're not available tonight. We'll see about Sunday. They alone are not going to change the fortune of this team. It is and still will be about Simmons and Embiid carrying this team to where they need to be at the end of the day. They're both wrong. They both have fair amount of blame in everything that happened yesterday, the four-game losing streak on the road, anything else that we want to talk about, their relationship. You don't have to be best friends. Shaq and Charles talking all this stuff last night. The one thing that Shaq was right about, you do not have to be best friends. You just have to be able to coexist on the floor. I saw last night them trying to slap hands more than I've seen before, on the bench, on the floor, all of that. Keep it going. Get this win tonight against this team that played last on Wednesday with a solid victory over the Dallas Mavericks on the road and have been sitting since last night waiting for you to get back from Milwaukee with that L. They're going to be ready. They're going to be hungry. They're young. And again, they don't know what they don't know. Go out there and beat this basketball team and make it about you tonight, with the highlights at the end of the evening and not what we saw Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., a rookie and a second-year player respectively, doing to you tonight on your floor where you are 22-2. 610-632-0975. Let's chat it up, an abbreviated show going until 645. Brian Seltzer at 650. Tom McGinnis with the game call at 7. Take this quick break. Dave, Lou, Warren, everybody else, we got you when we get back. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing. We're here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
620, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. Devon Givens with you. Sixers Grizzlies at 7. Let's get your thoughts before the game gets underway here on The Fanatic. We start off with Dave in Center City joining us next here on The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Yo, guy, TGIF.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
And you know what's really kooky? I look back to a Dallas Maverick team that Don Nelson coached in 03 and 04. Okay? They had Dirk. They had Finley, Avery Johnson, Steve Nash, Josh Howard, Jameson, Nick at Night. They had a problem with spacing, and there weren't enough balls to go around. Okay? Same here with the Sixers, but why is it only on the road we have that problem?
I have no idea. No idea.
At home. Devon, could I share a story with you when I went to the Sixers-Lakers game?
Yeah, sure.
I'm there with my date, and I go with Dave Spadaro and his supermodel girlfriend, and we're sitting there. Sixers could have won that game by 35 points if it weren't for the 23 turnovers. And then the Lakers were staying at the Four Seasons Hotel. So it just so happens my girl and I were staying there.
Okay.
I busted up with Frank Vogel until the bar closes. He said, Dave, you have a team that cannot be beaten at home. So what is this mystery that has to be solved? Home against the road team. I love you, my brother.
You got it, man. Thanks, man. I have no idea. It's the strangest thing. And I've been running this off for a while now, all the way back to when we started doing the session, because these losses just continue to pile up. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, this record is unacceptable. And then the numbers just keep going and going and going. And right now they're sitting at 9-19. And that's just ridiculous because you're 22-2. You still have the same personnel. You still have the same head coach and the coaching staff. What is the difference? I understand being more comfortable at home. I get it. But it should not be so dramatic. Right? Huge difference at home versus away. And I continue to say it. You have this road record at 9-19 where you should not be in conversation with the New York Knicks, Charlotte Hornets, Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls, Orlando Magic, and the Brooklyn Nets when it comes to a road record. You are right there in line with all of them with your 9-19 record that you're sporting. Meanwhile, the top five, 20-4, 18-7, 14-10, 12-13, 13-13. Just give me 500. 27 games in a row. Give me 13-14. I'll take that. It's ridiculous, their road record. Ridiculous. 13-14 is all I'm asking. So you give me four more wins, five more wins on the road. I still want better, but I'm still looking at a record that's right around 36-15. We can deal with that, right? 610-632-0975, and you wouldn't be in the sixth spot right now, which again is unacceptable. Lou on the cell next on the Fanatic. Hey, Lou.
Devon, how you making out, man?
I'm making out, man. I hope they get this W tonight.
Oh, it's terrible that we have to even be saying. Have you ever seen anything like this in a city where we had two teams that had such high expectations? I mean, not just city fans, not just the fans, but like analysts all across the country saying that, listen, if anything, the Sixers is going to be an excellent defensive team.
Yes.
Philadelphia Eagles are supposed to be like the best offense in the NFL. What the heck is going on, man?
I have no idea what's going on. Maybe we were all wrong.
I seriously started thinking about moving to another city, man. This is just tough. But listen, real quick with the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so painful. My thing is this. When I saw Joel Embiid walk off that court last year, losing to Toronto, had his little girlfriend or whoever it was with the shoulder on his
yes,
arm,
that was
his
her.
Shoulder, and he's weeping and crying, and mm-hmm. it made Embiid memes. When I saw him show up against the Toronto Raptors this year and put up 0 points in the first game, and he plays another game and he scores 10 points against the team that took you out, that right there, that showed me a heck of a lot. The guy is one of the most talented guys in the NBA. But when you talk about, like, soft and no – and I'm an African, and it pains me to say this, man. This guy is unbelievably soft. And if you're telling me that he's playing this way because he doesn't like playing with Ben Simmons, that's even all the more reason I don't want him here, because he's letting another man dictate the way he behaves.
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
Absolutely.
Man.
And that just goes back again, Lou, where Shaq said, listen, all the stuff that Shaq and Barkley say, we could all criticize it, critique it, break it down. The one thing that I say, Shaq was right. You do not have to be friends off the court, but on the floor, as long as you respect one another, that's all. Go out there and do your job.
Handsomely to go out there
and do a job. Exactly.
This is not your girlfriend.
Nope.
Play the game. And win. Get your butt in the post. And I know this is a different NBA we're talking about. Listen, players like Embiid, soon enough, they're going to be extinct. You got the Houston Rockets with playing five men small ball.
6'6" guys last night. And won.
You see that? And they won. Embiid can't run the floor. If we don't get it done now, listen, you got a man with a wrap around his one hand. Shooting he doesn't have a hand to guide the ball, and he's shooting from 30 feet away. What sense does that make?
I do not know, man. Thank you so much for the call, man. Appreciate it. And that's why I said, Lou, I said it in the opening segment. If he's not healthy enough to do what he is good at, he should not be out there. His presence, yes, it is a problem for people. They still have to defend you. They have to game plan for you. And that will open up things because you are on the floor. I get it. But they won some games without him. For me, just like they said, but I'm a little bit different when it comes to the low management versus this. This is a real injury. If he's going to sit because of that injury, I'm fine with it. Until he's right, bring him back. As long as he's doing his job and making sure his health is right, his fatigue, right, all that stuff. You can do things to make sure you're not really out of game shape, even though we know he's not going to be in game shape when he steps back out there on the floor, huffing and puffing and all that. And I agree with Mike. The Joel Embiid, Kansas Joel Embiid, his body and all that, the way he was able to move and run. He runs so stiff now, it's way different. And after all of those years, you know, what, 5, 6 years ago when he was drafted from out of Kansas, his body is definitely going to be different. Definitely going to be different. And I'm glad that he put on the weight and things of that nature to be stronger. But it shouldn't. Remember when it ballooned to 300 and the team was, the organization? No, that didn't happen. When Keith Pompey first reported that? Yeah, it did. Get him back in shape, that's all. Don't deny it. And right now, he still needs to lose some weight. They kept boasting about it. They were proud that he lost 25, 30 pounds, whatever it was, during the preseason and training camp. No. Need more. A freak accident with the hand. All right, that's nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. He was fighting for the ball. His hand got caught in a jersey. It happens. But other things he can control. And right now, if he is not right, he should not be out there. 6-1, that's why you got Al Horford, right? To be a backup and spells Embiid when he's not available. He should not be playing right now, in my opinion. Warren and Cherry Hill. Hey, Warren.
You just said real quickly what a big problem is now. It's too easy. We've done this for a while.
Uh-huh.
And whether it's the players, we already know what Embiid. He's less than he was when we got him. He's going backwards. But I still, and you know what I'm about to say, it's Brown who's the problem because, one, whatever it is, the home record, the away record, it's preparation. Every point goes back to him. I'm not blaming him that Ben won't take a shot. I'm not blaming him that Embiid's not in shape. I'm not blaming for it. But it all is. When you took Horford, like you just said, he's a backup, and he starts when Embiid can't play. They cannot start those three guys. When it is, it's funny. I'm watching Ben on one side of the block, Horford underneath. When you watch him play Miami, I'm watching other teams. There's nobody on offense standing near the lane. They cut, they move, they get the pass. Mr. Brown does not know how to adjust. We have a defensive team, and he still wants to play a quick-paced ball game. It doesn't work for this team. And I know it's not just him. No, he's not the one who misses shots. He's not the one who throws up a shot, a three-point shot with 20 seconds on the clock. But this is a guy who's not taking charge. He still acts as if he's coaching a bunch of kids and going to win 9-10 games. You cannot have this record at home. NBA is the...
No, you mean on the road. On the road.
No, you cannot have as good a record you have on the road.
Okay.
You get... The home court in the NBA is way more important than even football, baseball, any of it. But you can't do that and go on the road and be that abysmal. It's a matter of preparation. You know a lot of players. Ask them. The road is a much different animal.
Absolutely. And how about you just go on the road, man? Warren, as always, thanks. And have some pride. Take some pride in your work when you go on the road. Take some pride. The Miami game. Everybody saw it. It looked like they were just disinterested after the lead just started to go away when they put up the 40 Miami in the third quarter. They weren't as competitive, the Sixers. They were not. Last night at the end, I mean, you got Giannis. Last night when we did In the Post, I didn't even mention his name and his stat line of what he put up there, 36 and 20. I didn't even mention it last night because I was so frustrated with everything else that happened with the 76ers. I just gave you the score. That's how mad I was. I did give out the shooting percentage because that was important, but That's how upset I was again, and they continue to do it to us. 610-632-0975. Aaron, Nas, John, Kevin, Zay, we'll get to you when we get back. Final segment before we get to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com with the pregame show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
6:37 here on The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. Josh Rabick producing. Brian Seltzer coming up in about 13 minutes for the pregame coverage live from the center. Sixers back at home hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. The 26 and 25 Memphis Grizzlies sitting in the eighth spot. 2.5 games up on the Blazers in the Western Conference standings. Let's take your phone calls again, talking about the Sixers getting ready for the game tonight. See if hopefully they get a win. I'm excited. You know what's bad? You know you always, even when you're good, you want to see the other players come in. And you know, it's not just about your team. It's about talent around the league. I'm looking forward to seeing Ja Morant. I wish we would broadcast it from the center so I could be down there to watch him. He and Jaren Jackson Jr. and some of the others. I don't like Dylan Brooks. Let's just put that out there again. I cannot stand him. And I want to see them. How about you do not let them come into your house and put on the show? How about that? Aaron in Drexel Hill next on The Fanatic. Aaron, how you doing?
What's up, Devon, man?
What's going on, man? Go ahead, man. Get it off your chest.
Thank you.
You got it.
So first and foremost, I had to do a readjustment of my frustration with the 76ers and why I think we're going through the problems we're going through.
Okay.
I used to always go Brett, Embiid, then Ben, but I have to change it now because Embiid is our best player on our team. He doesn't have to be the most important. He doesn't have to be the leader, but he is the best player. And a team, no matter what team you play for, is only as good as your best player's effort, energy, and hustle on the court. And every single night, he is not showing up with that quote-unquote MVP caliber player that he wants to be, best center in the league caliber player that he thinks he is in his mind. Then you look at Brett, and I'm frustrated with Brett because Brett can't seem to be able to figure out how to maximize all the talent that is given to him. He was given nothing when he started, then given a bunch of talent, and he has no clue what to do with them. And then Ben Simmons, on his end, his selfishness of not shooting, he just does not truly understand how much it hurts the team just by not attempting a shot.
Yeah.
It's extremely frustrating.
It's selfish. It's selfish to me because he may not be a great shooter, Aaron, but the threat of him doing it, he's already made three shots. So you would think, once again, when we talk about this stuff, you see one go through, that will give you the confidence to do it again. Oh, all right. That felt good. So I'll do another and I'll do another and I'll do another. And gradually he'll get to a point where he takes a few of those in game in the flow of the offense and help everybody else out because he is now attempting the shots.
And the last thing I just want to say is, right now, I'm even more pissed off at Joel Embiid because I think he selfishly came back on the court just so he can get his status so he can play in the All-Star. Because there's no need to bring him back. If you're playing the way that you're playing on that court, your hand is that hurt that you can't grab the ball with two hands. You can't post the way you normally. If you can't do that stuff, you should not come back. And I'm mad at the organization and the coach for letting him step back on the court. If everybody's seeing that he can barely squeeze his hand, do anything with his hand, why you let him play that?
And it's crazy because, Aaron, thanks so much, man. I'm looking at Franklin on Twitter, Franklin Tangfeet, F-T-A-O-K on Twitter, says if there's no danger of his hand getting worse, then he should play. It's up to Brett to determine how effective he is and adjust lineups accordingly. Well, depending on how his hand has nothing to do with the lineup, it's up to him to be able to play through whatever pain he's in the contact. And while he is doing that, there are times where it's not the same. It's not as good as, let's say, another possession or another game, for that matter. And he's hurting him. He's hurting them at times. And then last night, just acting the way he was when he wasn't getting the calls, jumping up, stomping on the floor at the official and all that. Come on, man. Nasir in Philly next on the Fanatic. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, bro?
How you doing,
hey,
man?
The last caller just said exactly what I was about to say, man. He rushed back so he can make that All-Star game, man, which is not cool, which goes right back to immaturity.
Yes.
You know?
I wouldn't disagree with either of you for saying that. You and Aaron, you're probably right.
Right. Now, I do think we'll be all right once Josh get back, you know, full strength, healthy, and, you know, with the two additions. But also, I wanted to run an idea across you. What do you think about them contacting Kenny, man? Kenny Smith, first-time head coach, man. I think he would do good. You know, he's one. He's tough. You know, he has a hunger, you know, because he really wants to do coaching.
I've never seen him in a situation. I've never seen him in a situation to coach, to have a opinion on it.
He would be the first time.
Yeah, and he interviewed for the Knicks job 2 years ago and didn't get it. David Fizdale got it. I don't know. I've never been the big Kenny Smith guy when they were on television. Obviously, as a player, he was a very good player from Carolina to Houston and Sacramento, all that stuff. But I'm not sure about that. I think if they did, just my opinion, right now I don't know anything, Nas, that they would go in the direction of somebody who's already had experience as a head coach.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. It was just a thought. I think he would be tough, and I think he would be good to work with Ben, man.
Well, you know what? In that case, let's see if they can get them to meet up in the offseason and have them work on some things in the offseason if Ben Simmons is up for that, man. Thanks for the call. Not a bad idea for the workouts. Remember last year when all that Magic Johnson controversy started on that Sunday when the Lakers and the Sixers played here in Philadelphia about them working out in the offseason and people lost their minds? Well, he's no longer the president of the Lakers. He can do that. And what happened to them working out with all of these other legends, former All-Stars, Hall of Famers, that they said they were going to in the offseason? They worked with Chris Johnson, the workout guy, and that's all we knew of. Not to say that they didn't. We just didn't know about it, and he's still not shooting. Kevin in South Philly next on the Fanatic. Kev.
Yo, I'm here, Devon.
What's up, Kev?
Hey, man, a couple quick points real quick, man. I think they problem on the road, man, is they don't have the us mentality. Everybody's selfish on this team.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, everybody's two selfish of them.
Everybody talking about each other, this, and, you know, everybody got their comments in the media and all that. Like, it's supposed to be in-house. You know, y'all got beef amongst each other. Handle it in practice. You know what I mean? Talk about it in practice. Do what you like. And then another thing, practice. How is it no time for practice?
Because, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, the travel and all of that stuff kind of messes everybody's schedule up.
Yeah, but everybody got their personal stuff they want to go do.
Yeah, when I heard Mike and even Stephen A. talking about when they came back, and I knew they came back to Philadelphia after the Miami game, and he stayed, I didn't like that.
No, not at all.
Even if it was already agreed upon, after the way things ended up, you know what? No, let's all get back to Philadelphia now. Let's go. Let's like, try something else another time.
The coach, the organization, like you on a losing streak. We don't lost what, four in a row on the road?
Yeah, five in a row, but these last four, yes.
Yeah, so you're losing, right? You're supposed to go just like in the playoffs. You're supposed to go make adjustments. What do we got to do to fix what's wrong? You know, and it all starts.
It starts with those two. It starts with those two. Absolutely, Kev.
Worrying about some darn MVP or defensive player of the year or this or that, and worry about the team. Nobody got a team mentality. They all got selfish mentality. They need to worry about us.
Yeah, absolutely right, man. Absolutely right, Kev. Thanks so much, man. Enjoy the game coming up next. Sixers and Grizzlies. Josh Rabick and I will be back for the In the Post show after the Sixers Grizzlies. Hopefully, we're talking about a win. And that's what we'll do. So thanks to Josh. Thanks to all of you. Coming up next, Brian Seltzer, pregame coverage live from the center here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.